I knew a little bit about Bulgakov before I had a look at A Dog's Heart, because I'd worked on The Master and Margarita, his huge masterpiece, so I'd found out a little bit about him, but I didn't know anything at all about this story when it was presented to me. And my first thought when I saw it was, what's going on here? Partly because there are occasional narrative shifts in it, which are not signposted at all, they just occur. But very soon, I just became completely caught up in this fantastic, mad, wild, satirical, humane world that he creates. The vividness of his imagination and the glorious absurdity of the world that he portrays. And it didn't take long before I realised, on the basis of what I'd found out about him working on The Master and Margarita, that this was another satire on the dangers of the Soviet system, but also something more than just a political diatribe, that it was something human, humane, that the events that he was describing were based on some of the science of the time, the business of monkey gland transplants, which apparently added longevity and virility to people, had actually been taking place, and he added to that notion of using science to change the nature of humanity's personality and applied it to the Soviet experiment of trying to create a world where everyone gives their individuality to the system. And the troubles that that brings with it are displayed rather brilliantly in the book. But even without any knowledge of the Soviet world and the Soviet system, this is a story of how humanity is more complex, more flawed, more liable to be individual than any system can happily control. The doctor in this, the urbane man who thinks he can control the transplants, is completely thrown by what he tries to do. And the dog, the canine narrator, may not be a particularly pleasant specimen of even dog-ity, far less humanity. But he is real and vibrant and flawed and intriguing and suffering and creates sympathy in the reader. The other thing I did get to do with this, which is a rare privilege, is actually to do something that's slightly easier in an audiobook form than it is in the written form. When the book opens, there's the howl of the dog, and it does take a little while for the reader to realise what kind of noise that is, because you don't know that it's a dog to begin with. But when you're reading it out loud, you do actually get to howl like a dog, which makes it that much clearer straight away, which is, I suppose, something of a bonus. The other thing about it was, of course, it was just huge fun to create these people, these extraordinary characters dragged in from the street. The doctor and his assistant and his lady friend and the sort of terrible results of his experiments coming to life in his very tidy and very nicely appointed flat in Moscow. And to give these people a voice, it was just delightful because it is funny and so full of life and brio and vibrancy, and it springs along with tremendous energy and invention. And it was a real pleasure just to have a chance to really burst into a book and try and infuse it with all that vibrancy and brio, while at the same time knowing that what you had was a not terribly well-known piece and a chance to give it to a slightly bigger audience, or at least a different audience, to try and introduce a work that has disappeared for the best part of half a century, if not more, and try and give it a kind of new life, to reintroduce this wonderfully inventive and bizarre and extraordinary story a new home.